Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Mitch Evans Experience. Thursday morning, U.S. Open will commence, and it will be doing so outside of Philadelphia. Whether or not Tiger Woods is going to be able to break through and break this five-year drought for him remains to be seen. But a lot going on, and we bring aboard Mike Buto, who covers golf for Bloomberg News. He's with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Mike, what's going on there outside of Philadelphia?
Well, you talked about if the tournament, you know, when the tournament gets underway on Thursday, that remains to be seen of how long that they'll be playing for, because we've got a massive storm headed our way. Should hit sometime in the afternoon when it gets really bad. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Adam Scott are set to tee off at 1:14. They might not even tee off if the storm comes through like they're talking about. So there are a lot of questions in the air right now. The course is already waterlogged. Mm-hmm. The players got some limited practice rounds in. And it just started to dry out a little bit, the day before the tournament. And now they're about to get swamped again. So a lot of question marks.
If and when things clear up there, Mike, soft and soggy, those conditions are obviously good for the players. We might see better scores as a result.
Absolutely. You could see 2 years ago, McIlroy set the U.S. Open record at Congressional at 16 under. Going into this, you try to get the players to give a number on what they think, and they're all hesitant to do it. But I wouldn't be shocked to see that record broken this week, simply because Congressional was a course that played about 7,500 yards, and McIlroy tore that place up. This course plays less than 7,000 yards. Yes, there are some long holes coming in. 14 through 18 are as tough as you're going to get. But holes 1 through 13, guys are saying on 9 of those holes, they've got wedge in their hand. If you got wedge in your hand on 9 holes and you're firing at wet greens, it's mm-hmm. like throwing darts. These guys are so good that they can get it within 10 feet on every one of those holes, ideally, and you're looking at a whole bunch of birdies.
Mike Buto with Bloomberg News covers golf for them, is with us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, Mike, your latest piece, which is more about the course, more about Marion and the history of it, and also the fact that we're talking about a golf course and a club that is 117 years old, so it's not a modern course. It is small, and it's a situation where the PGA Tour and the U.S. Open, they're taking a hit just because of the beauty of this course. They're not making any money on this thing, correct?
Well, we'll have to wait and see what their annual report comes out next year to get the actual number. But when you talk to them, yes, they are taking a financial hit. And some people I spoke with said that number could be anywhere about $10 million as far as a loss. Now, you have to factor in a lot of other things on whether or not that's actually a loss, so to speak, or if it's less of what they made in the past. But they're definitely going to be taking a hit here. And to give you an idea of how small this place is, Augusta National, which you can walk around, those that have been there, it's not a course you can't get around. It's not so big. It's about 350 acres. Marion Golf Club is 110 acres, and it is in the middle of a bunch of homes. To give you perspective, on the 14th hole, they have a lot of hospitality tents set up. They're in backyards of people's homes.
Wow.
They had to rent out homes to put hospitality tents in. It is that tiny. And you can only have about 25,000 people on the property, and that is packed in at 25,000. To give you an idea, Olympic Club last year in San Francisco, there was about 45,000 people per day. So you just factor in the loss in ticket sales alone, and then you have about 20,000 less people going through the merchandise tent every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the math. You're looking at a big chunk of change that they're giving up. But they're looking at Marion as a big history play here. This is going to be a storied sort of tournament. They're going to play up the history of the game. Everybody has seen the black and white photo of Ben Hogan posed at the top of the 18th hole holding a one iron. That was here at Marion. Also, Bobby Jones, when he won the Grand Slam in 1930, when he capped it with the U.S. amateur title at the end, that was also at Marion. So you have plenty of history here, and the USGA is really kind of playing that history card instead of the profit card They'll make up for it. Don't get me wrong. They'll make up for it in future years. They're going to Pinehurst next year. They're having the U.S. Men's Open and the Women's Open back-to-back, so they'll save a bunch of money in the logistics with that. And then in 2017, they go to Erin Hills in Wisconsin. There are 650 acres at Erin Hills. They can pack as many hospitality tents as possibly want there. So they will make up for it in due time. Don't you worry.
Well, with Marion as the backdrop and the history that has occurred there, how does Marion suit Tiger Woods? Is this a good place for this five-year majors drought to possibly end?
Well, you have to look at what he did at the Players' Championship. He put a five-wood in play all week long, just hit that low screaming off the tee. Here, he's going to do a lot of that, and there are plenty of holes where you're going to have wedge in your hand. And we've seen the development of his swing over the years, and one of the last things he's really been working on is his wedge play. And at the Memorial, he was way off. But leading up to the Memorial, he had won four times. You can certainly say that his game is shaped up for a course like this. And when he was on and when he was winning as much as he was, with a wedge in his hand, he was as good as any player. And earlier this year, we kind of throw out the Memorial a little bit. That was a bit of a freak occurrence there. But his putting has been the best on tour, and that's what you need here. If you can put your wedges within 10 feet and your putter is on, Tiger Woods was a player that inside of 10 feet, he was money in the bank when his game was good. So I think it suits him well. If he misses the fairway, or anybody misses the fairway for that matter, you're done. You're looking at least a bogey. It's going to be wet, and this rough is the old school U.S. Open gnarly long rough. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wrist-breaking sort of stuff.
We're talking about the U.S. Open with Mike Buto, covers golf for Bloomberg News. He is on site there outside of Philadelphia at Marion. He's with us on the WaitFor.com hotline. It's interesting to me, Mike, that Phil Mickelson brought his name back into the conversation, I think, with three great rounds and a second-place finish last weekend on tour. Can Lefty be a player here at this Open?
You know, it was interesting, that question. I was on a call with Johnny Miller and some other guys, and they were asking that same question. What about Phil and Paul Azinger and those guys? They sort of laugh, and I think Phil Azinger actually called Phil a crazy-ass gambler. Those were his words, and he is.
He is,
and the problem with Phil is he sees shots that nobody else sees, and he is convinced in his head he can pull it off, even when he shouldn't, but 90% of the time he can, so he tries it. Here at Marion, if you don't pull it off and you're in the rough, you're done. I mean, you are done. So we've seen Phil, great short game, great imagination. This isn't the type of course and the type of conditions right now where imagination is going to help you. Accuracy is going to help you. You need to put the ball in the fairway, and you need to put it on the green. If he does that, you know, he'll be contending. But I think Phil, he's a little bit too erratic, and we've all seen it. He sure makes it interesting. But, you know, the U.S. Open is a patient type of course,
right,
and Phil's patience may wear thin quicker than others.
That's a delicate way of putting it. You mentioned the great threesome that's in store for everybody with Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Adam Scott for the opening two rounds. Let's talk about Rory. Where do you see him in this equation?
The question with him is, do we see him leaving the course after two rounds or sticking around for the final two? It's anybody's guess at this point with Rory McIlroy. You know, he's like anybody else. When you talk to anybody in any sport, and if you were to take, let's say, a baseball player, and you were to tell that baseball player, here, you're gonna use this wooden bat your whole career, and now we're gonna give you a different manufacturer, a different type of wood, and you have to wear different gloves and different cleats and all that, and you need to go out and produce the same way you did in the past. It's gonna take some adjusting. That's what's happened with Rory McIlroy. He's got new equipment, head to toe, a whole bag full of new clubs. And this is not a knock on Nike. I'm not here to say who makes better equipment than the others. It's just a fact. If you change everything that you are used to, it takes a long time to get used to it. And that's what's going on with Rory McIlroy right now. He's not going to admit it because he has a huge, huge multi-million dollar contract with Nike, but it takes some adjusting, and that's what's going on. So, you know, we didn't mention him, but one guy that you have to look at is Matt Kuchar. And Matt Kuchar is the only other player on tour this
year.
Who's won twice, and he's got runner-up finishes, top 10 finishes. You know, he's not exactly just, you know, won those two events and that's it. He has put together a great year so far. So, and he's under the radar a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Matt Kuchar really pops up here.
Wrapping things up with Mike Buteau of Bloomberg News on the wait4.com hotline as we preview the U.S. Open, which gets underway later on Thursday, hopefully, weather permitting, outside of Philadelphia. All right, Adam Scott, reigning Masters champion, but in that threesome, he's probably name number three. Is that motivation for the big Aussie?
I think when you look at marquee names, everybody will look at Tiger and Rory, but Adam Scott is as confident as anybody, and his putting is as good as anybody's right now. We saw it at the Masters. Of course, the long putter debate will go on with him, but he's allowed to use it for quite a while still. So as long as he's allowed to use it, you cannot rule him out. And he might be the lesser name of the three of them, but he's certainly popular on the golf course, and he'll have plenty of supporters out here. So that trio, if they tee off tomorrow and there's 25,000 people on the golf course, 20,000 of them will try to follow that group. So, well, I'm going to go somewhere else.
All right, real quick as we wrap it up, anyone else we should be looking at as a legit contender? I mean, you brought up Matt Kuchar. I had also names like Justin Rose, Graham McDowell, Keegan Bradley.
One guy that people may not be too aware of, Matteo Manassero, 20 years old, Italian, just a couple weeks ago won the BMW PGA Championship, which is a huge event on the European Tour. He's known as a great wedge player. He's not very long off the tee, which isn't going to be as big of a factor this week. And he's, another guy that is completely under the radar. But if he puts together a couple rounds, you know what it's like when the Italians rally behind a player. Matteo Manassero is a guy that is going to be very popular if his name pops up on that leaderboard. So there's a dark horse for you if you want to consider that.
All right, we appreciate that. And thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Mike Buteau of Bloomberg News. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Buteau, BUTEAU. Hey, stay dry out there, my friend.
I will certainly try. Thanks, Mitch.